Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It still makes me mad, but it doesn't make me nearly as mad. I cannot claim that I've been road rage free since I started commuting again or since I've gotten back on the roads again. But those 7 weeks that I went without driving at all, except to the grocery store and back, the 7 weeks during the pandemic where I did not put gas in my car, that was in March and April. I swore, no matter what, that I would never get upset about traffic again. Now, as I say, that was the New Year's resolution. It didn't hold up for very long, but it feels good to sit in traffic now. And I keep reminding myself, what's the alternative? To be home, to be stuck, to be looking at your car out the window and you can't go anywhere. And so, yes, I've gotten a little annoyed about traffic, but I right away remind myself, you will never take this for granted again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I've got the news on here in studio as well as the NFL Network up. And we're going to talk more about week two as the Bengals and Browns will kick things off coming up on Thursday night. But as part of the news, I wanted to see what was happening in the Florida Panhandle, in Alabama, in Georgia, even in parts of Mississippi and even Louisiana, also affected initially when Hurricane Sally came on land. And while she has been downgraded to, I think it's a tropical depression now, historic amounts of water dumped in parts of her path and a lot of flooding. And so we're thinking of you in the Florida Panhandle, as I say, in Alabama, now Georgia, and just the fact that the storm was moving so slowly. The water and the storm surge has been catastrophic. And I was hearing stories as I was driving in about families, entire families who were being rescued. One family was found in a tree somewhere in Alabama and was rescued. And so there have been hundreds of rescues and still over 500,000 people without power in Alabama and Florida alone. And some of the video is astounding. It takes your breath away to see the damage and the destruction. And it's been a year of that, whether it's catastrophic flooding, whether it's hundreds of homes and businesses destroyed in every town where these wildfires rage, in Oregon, in Washington, up and down California. It's scary. And I've been praying a lot for not only firefighters who have to be running on empty and rarely getting time off, but also those people who are on standby to evacuate or who have been forced out of their homes. And I've heard reports and accounts of people who barely made it out and then watched their homes burn as they left. And it's heartbreaking. I can't even imagine being in that situation where you know you have to leave and you know there's a very real possibility that your home will not be there when you get back. Of course, human life is to be valued over a structure, but when it's your home and everything that you own is in that structure, it's still hard to let go and say goodbye. So it just seems like there's so much happening in 2020 that is depressing and that is painful and that is devastating. And gosh, there are no shortage of people to pray for and no shortage of circumstances about which to pray. And I do a lot of that, not to mention your regular difficulties of life, which is, you know, people getting sick or people losing jobs and people going through other challenges and hardships and difficulties. And I know that changing the calendar at the end of the year will not change everything, but there is something to be said about hanging on and looking toward the light at the end of the tunnel, whenever that may be. And so I'm trying to find the hope and find the joy in some of the small things. As I said, watching kiddos walk to school for the first time in my neighborhood on Wednesday morning was a joy to me, even though I don't have kids. And right now I don't see the school on a daily basis, but just to see the kiddos there and carrying their backpacks or holding onto their mom's hands and pulling their little suitcases behind them, that made me really happy. I know in cities all over the country, they're either doing hybrid learning or remote learning, and then with the thought that they would go back to school in person. But there are also a lot of schools that are, in fact, in person. And so many kids who are now back in that social structure and even with restrictions are able to see their friends again. And, you know, my niece is at Virginia Tech, and all of her classes happen to be online. So she is in an off-campus apartment not that far away in Blacksburg, and she's still doing all of her classes by watching videos or watching the lectures or joining a live Zoom call. So there's a variety of ways. She does have the option of going to a lab on campus, but you have to sign up and register. And so far she hasn't done it. But what has made the huge difference to her? What's been so different from the springtime when she was also doing her classes online is the fact that her friends are around. And she's got these five friends. They're super tight. She missed them so much when she was gone. That alone, to hear the joy in her voice and to know how much more comfortable she is and how much happier she is, knowing that she can spend time with her friends around her classes. They've been on campus to eat at the dining hall. They've been able to go, oh gosh, she said they climbed a hill and watched a sunset. I mean, the social aspect of this is so important too. And there's definitely a social aspect to the traffic increasing, even though we're all in our own separate vehicles for the most part. But those little things, seeing greater traffic in the mornings, watching kiddos walk to school, spotting a bus in my neighborhood, knowing that my niece is able to be close to her campus and is able to walk around campus and hang out with her friends. That to me, just, it's the ray of hope that I can hang on to, knowing that restaurants are opening up. And so this is just my state. I know a lot of you are already able to eat indoors, but now having New Jersey restaurants open for 25% capacity, which seems like nothing, but it's helpful to the restaurant owners. I haven't actually gone yet. But it was cool to know that that was an option. And there's a lot of people who are still wondering about their own jobs and wondering whether or not their businesses will survive. And there's the element of the vaccine and how quickly it might be available for mass production. And there's just so many questions that we don't have answers to. And yet I feel more hopeful because of these little rays of light that are shining down. So I hope that's the case for you all too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. So find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. Actually, producer Dave put up a poll too, so it's kind of fun. This is a poll form that we can only really do on Twitter, or we only do on Twitter, but we're restricting it to the four major team sports. So which of the four major team sports looks and sounds the best without fans? All right, so that's just, it's a more specific poll, kind of a cross-section of the question that we've thrown out there that you're answering on both of our social media sites. And I would love to talk to you as well, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. By the way, you know me, I have my dorky, goofy moments. And my one major domestic failure is that I spill everything. I can't help it. I swear to you, I can look at a pot of something or a cup of something or a bowl of something and it spills all by itself. I don't know how it happens. I can even say to myself, don't spill that. And I spill it anyway. It's my major domestic failure. And I'm just going to have to let my future hubby know that so that he's prepared ahead of time. I mean, I clean up my own spills, but for some reason I spill and drop everything. I don't know why, but when I spent time with my mom last, we had this conversation and she was talking about how frustrated she is about spilling things. And it dawned on me, it's hereditary. I got it from my mom. It's her fault. Also, sleep issues. My sleep issues are her fault as well because she does not sleep soundly either. She wakes up in the middle of the night and can't get back to sleep. And that's my major issue during the daytime. Now, as human beings, we're not supposed to be sleeping during the daytime. Even with darkened rooms, your body knows something to do with some piece of your part of your eye that actually knows when it's daylight and your circadian rhythm. So anyway, I blame my mom for both the drops and spillsies, the dropsies and the spillsies, and also the sleep issues. But I also thank her for my ability to gab. My gift of gab comes from mom too. She's the only person I know who talks more than me.
Thank you.
Anyway, so yes, thank you, mom. I wanted to share with you my latest domestic failure, but I'm really thankful that it's only happened once in 9.5 months. Okay, I kind of feel like I need to hold that up, first of all, to tell you that it's a source of pride for me. I lasted 9.5 months before I forgot to put a coffee cup under the Keurig machine. So this was also a gift from my mom. I normally do cold brew and I only drink iced coffee. It's a weird thing about me. There are many weird things about me, but that's one of them. It doesn't matter how cold it is. I only drink iced coffee. I've been this way since I first started drinking coffee when I turned 30. I once was standing on a train platform and it was -5 degrees air temp, not to mention what it was like with the wind chills and stuff. And I had to wait for the train. And by the time I got on the train, my coffee had frozen in my cup because it already had ice in it and stuff. I only do iced coffee, even in the most brutal of winter stretches. So the Keurig, generally, I have to make it ahead of time and just let it sit there for a little bit. Anyway, I usually brew a cup under the Keurig and then add it to my cold brew for my nighttime commute into the city. And so I was making dinner and I put the water in the Keurig machine and I put the little cup in there and I closed it down and I hit the button so it was ready to brew and I heard it warming up. And then all of a sudden I hear this spattering on the counter. Like, that does not sound anything like the cup. And here's the thing. It dawned on me what was happening. I looked over and I thought, crap. I probably said crap, but then I didn't move. I just watched it like drain onto the counter like an idiot. So I finally get over there and managed to get maybe a quarter of the cup in the actual cup. And then I cleaned up the rest of the mess. But yeah, it did take 9.5 months. So it was quite a while after my mom bought the Keurig machine. She wanted the Keurig machine for Christmas last year, so she left it with me. She couldn't take it home on the plane, and it's really her Keurig. So when she comes home, when she comes to my home, she uses it. But I do use it, too, almost daily, and I survived not quite a year. That would be stretching it a bit, but longer than the time it takes to have a baby before forgetting to put a coffee cup under the Keurig machine.
Oh, no!
I thought I was the only one, or that maybe it wasn't as common as what you are leading me to believe. So, yeah, I'm glad that I'm not alone on my island. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, find us on Twitter. There's a poll up now, and a lot of you are weighing in. Which of the four major sports looks and sounds the best without fans? I don't actually know this. I'm not sure. I can't vote yet. I'm going to continue to think about that. But some of you are also answering the question and kind of giving us your thoughts. Mike on Twitter says, out of all the leagues, the NHL has done the best on all fronts. Maybe, Producer Dave, we can find a highlight from the NHL just to kind of give people an idea of what it sounds like on radio. So, you know, TV and radio outlets have the ability to turn the crowd noise up or down. In the arena, it's determined by who the home team is. Okay, so here's an example. The Kemba Walker jump shot from overtime of the Celtics Heat game on Tuesday night. So remember, Celtics were the higher seed. They're the 3 seed. Miami is the 5 seed. And so technically, it's supposed to be a home game. I'm using my air quotations. A home game in Orlando for the Celtics. What does that mean? Well, it means that their PA announcer and their technical directors are the ones who are pumping in crowd noise. So it's crowd noise specific to Boston, to the TD Garden. And it's their people who are determining what it sounds like and what it looks like. You'll see more Celtics graphics. You'll see the fans up there more. It's the Celtics videos. It's all that jazz because it's technically supposed to be their home game. So this is what it sounded like when Kemba Walker hit his shot in OT.
14 on the shot clock, 28.7 to go. Boston down by one. Kemba straight away against Hero. Kemba, here's the step back at 18 feet. Got it!
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Man, Kemba with the muscle memory. Big time.
So that's Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell on the Celtics radio network. What about the, can we play then the OG Anunoby block or one of the Jimmy Butlers? Just to compare it. So that was a Celtics crowd or Celtics, supposed to be a Celtics pro audience. It definitely, you can hear the crowd behind the Kemba Walker shot, but obviously it was the Heat who won this game with a couple of big plays down the stretch.
Now Tatum trying to get space. Tatum all the way in. Tatum blocked at the rim by Bam! And Bam throws it and gets it into the hands of Derrick Jones Jr. What a block by Bam Adebayo as Tate went in to slam it down, and Bam said, not a chance here in Orlando.
It's a little different. You could still hear what are supposed to be fans in the stands. But you know what I also heard, Dave? Jay Crowder yelling at the top of his lungs. You can hear Jake. Now, if you saw the play, you know that Jay Crowder had this huge, he got all puffed up. He stuck out his chest. He just had his arms and like flexed, and he was like, ah! And he did it twice. He let out these two guttural yells as he was going to congratulate Bam Adebayo. And so I can hear him over the crowd. So it kind of feels like the pro Celtics crowd noise leveled out a little bit, but still, it's essentially background when you're listening to it. It's just supposed to be controlled by whatever team is the home team in that game. Do we have a hockey highlight that we can use just so people can hear what it sounds like? Right now, it's all in Edmonton.
Right point, Shattenkirk, the blast, blocked out high. Islanders might have a 2-on-1 here. Lee, through the left circle, he's with Everly down the middle, feeds him, shoots, he scores! Jordan Everly has won it in double overtime on a great feed from the captain! The Islanders win it 2-1! They stayed off elimination, and there will be a Game 6 on Thursday night!
That's Chris King on the Islanders radio network, and you can hear the roar of the crowd. It's supposed to be an Islanders home game. You can hear it behind Chris King. Now, again, the radio broadcasters or the radio producers have the ability to turn the sound up or turn it down. It's been pretty noticeable in Major League Baseball where it's just flat out quiet, and a lot of the broadcast teams are essentially talking, whether they're home and they're in their own booths and they're on site, or whether they're not on site, they're in their own stadiums and the games are taking place elsewhere. I feel like baseball's been a lot more quiet. Visually, though, I don't mind the baseball. I will say this. I love baseball stadiums. I think they're beautiful. A lot of them are in gorgeous settings. So I don't mind seeing the baseball stadiums in their natural settings without fans. A lot of them have cardboard cutouts. That's cool, especially if they raise money for charity. The NFL so far, I feel like it's done the best job with the audio in terms of making it level across the board. And that's something they determined to do. Level across the board. It does not change. Now, there will be more fans in the stands in various NFL locations as we move forward in the season. The Cleveland Browns are planning on having roughly 6,000 fans at their home opener on Thursday night. And so I don't know if NBC will also enhance that with extra crowd noise, but I hope not, because I prefer the authenticity. And I'm wondering about you. So on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page, we do have a poll up now, and I'm interested. I'm an idiot. I'm interesting. like a bad pickup.
I'm a fun guy.
Thank you, Kawhi. At least I'm not the only one. It's like a bad pickup line. I'm a fun guy. But who am I to talk? I'm interesting. So ridiculous. Anyway, I meant to say I'm interested in your responses because we all watch sports differently. And if it's our favorite sport and it doesn't quite come up to the level of what we're used to, maybe we are less likely to see how it's not as bad, right? If it's a sport we don't really watch much, maybe it's not as jarring. Anyway, I'm not so interesting.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Sometimes a wake-up call is pretty good for everybody. A nice punch in the mouth, and that's how we should take it. We should, not dwell on it. Realize that we just got beat today. They played better than us. Look at it and get better. Move on and go play the Bengals. That's all we can do.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I mean, no one wants to punch Baker Mayfield in the mouth, right? I can't imagine anybody wants to do that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I really hope the sarcasm translates. I know it doesn't very much on social media, but you can probably hear it in my voice. My mom gets mad at me sometimes for my sarcasm, my sarcastic responses. I definitely did not get that from her. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Week 2.
You don't wear brown and orange, you don't matter.
Week 2 in the NFL kicks off in mere hours with Browns and Bengals, and we will preview that game and also give you some other QB news. Bruce Arians is laughing in your face. That's coming up following the update and the break here at the bottom of the hour. But Baker Mayfield, after the Baltimore Ravens won by 32 points in the opener. Every now and then it's good to get a punch in the mouth. So what happens then when Browns and Bengals kick off in Cleveland on Thursday night? Well, something's got to give. So you'll hear from both Baker and Joe Burrow, as well as some of the other coaches, about those two guys who were both Heisman Trophy winners and who, of course, both were at the height of their game and the top of the draft. Coming up this Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader. The early games are highlighted by an NFC matchup between the Giants and Bears, along with the Broncos meeting the Steelers. And then in game 2, birthday boy, Patrick Mahomes. Happy birthday to Patrick on this Thursday. Patrick Mahomes and the defending Super Bowl champs face the Chargers. The Ravens also take on the Texans. It starts with JB and the guys on the NFL Today at noon Eastern. That's 9 a.m. Pacific, only on CBS. You know, we have the U.S. Open that is starting at Winged Foot in New York. So it's north of New York City. It's Westchester-ish. So it's I guess, to people who are not from the area, considered a suburb. Surely there are a lot of people who normally would be commuting into New York. So maybe it is a bit of a bedroom community, but it's also a nice community in its own right. And it's outside of the city, what, about 40, 45 miles outside of the northern tip of Manhattan? But it hasn't hosted the U.S. Open since 2006. And interestingly enough, the USGA has actually admitted they've made the course easier because they thought it was going to eat these golfers alive. You know, the last time Tiger Woods won a U.S. Open, 2008. In fact, that was his last major win until the Masters in 2019. And he's not been playing well. I mean, he will admit it. This has been a tough go for him. They're are events every weekend, but he hasn't played every weekend. And it's kind of hard to figure out which ones you play, which ones you don't, and how to keep your body healthy when you still have both the U.S. Open and the Masters coming up. And so he's looking at Winged Foot and knowing this is going to be a really difficult 4 days.
This golf course is going to be one of the more difficult ones. The winning scores here have never traditionally been very low. I don't see that changing this week. The golf course is, it's going to be hard. You know, it depends on, you know, how difficult they want to set up these pins, you know, give us a chance at it. But with the forecast, it's going to be difficult no matter what.
I know a lot of people would love to see Tiger Woods win another major. And it all came together for him perfectly at the Masters, a course that he knows really well. This is a little bit of a different animal. The U.S. Open is, it really punishes you if you do not stay in the fairway. That's one area where the U.S. Open is notorious. If you get into the rough, very often you are punished royally. You also have narrow fairways. And as he talks about, really evil, diabolic pin placements. I mean, the U.S. Open prides itself on not allowing many golfers to be in red numbers. They like it that way, but they've also dialed back a little bit. Justin Thomas, another golfer who, ranked number 3 in the world, I believe. He's looking at this course and realizing the difficulty, but as you could actually hear the enthusiasm in his voice.
It's incredible. I absolutely love it. It's probably one of my favorites I've ever played, to be honest. It's hard. So it's a different kind of fun, but it is fun. And
it's a different kind of fun.
It's all right in front of you. It's nothing tricky, nothing crazy. Yeah, it's just you need to play well and have control of your golf ball. Otherwise, you're going to get pretty exposed.
A different kind of fun, like taking a calculus test. A different kind of fun, like driving in holiday traffic. A different kind of fun, like, baking with cocoa powder. That is the worst. I mean, you know that the cookies are going to taste good, or you think, if you put everything together right. But why is it that cocoa powder is like pine needles? You ever notice if you get a real tree, which I do, I'm a New Hampshire girl, I always have a real Christmas tree. I don't do fake Christmas trees. And you will still find pine needles in your house in June and July. When I was moving out of my last house, which I rented for 5 years, and I was kind of cleaning up at the end after all the furniture was gone, there were still pine needles remaining. In fact, pine needles may survive the apocalypse. So I feel like cocoa powder is the same. Cocoa powder is so thin and fine, it goes everywhere. If you even blow anywhere near it, it's poof in like clouds all over the place. So was it fun like baking with cocoa powder? Maybe. I guess if your cookies turn out well, or you're the one holding the trophy at the end of the U.S. Open. We've been talking about fans and what it will be like, or not what it will be like, what it is like without fans as all the different sports have returned, both on the college and the pro level. And it's different for these golfers because there are no galleries around the greens. And wow, does it stand out with a big shot during a major?
It's something that, unfortunately, this is our new reality. You know, this is something where we're getting used to. It's not something we like. Well, we want the fans and we want the atmosphere out there, but safety is first.
Do you think at some point we'll get used to it as well? Are you all getting used to it? Baseball, basketball, hockey, football, college or pro? Maybe it's high school. I actually have a bunch of friends who have kids who are playing either youth sports or high school sports, and they have limited fans in some places. In some places, they have fans in the stands that are supposed to remain distant. Again, it kind of depends on where you are. Are you used to it with UFC, with NASCAR? Again, limited fans allowed in different places. Are you used to it with golf yet? No galleries. For me, golf's been the easiest, I think less jarring, only because it's generally a quiet sport. And as producer Dave was saying earlier, I enjoy hearing the golfers communicate. Plus, it's kind of nice that you don't have people yelling, "Indo!" Or the other, which is Tiger. Well, this probably doesn't happen anymore. But Tiger and other golfers who used to get really upset when the cameras were shooting and you would hear the shutter of the camera during their backswing. So you don't have that kind of interference. I don't mind hearing the athletes. It's rare. It's unique. It's likely never to happen again. I don't mind getting a different aspect, a different presentation, something unique in 2020. But I will say that it took me some time getting used to some of the sports. The NBA, I'm still not really used to it. I just kind of to tune it out. So Tiger saying we're getting used to it. I suppose you have to. Mentally tough, you've got to be able to focus on the task at hand and forget about the periphery and what's around you if you want to have a chance at winning and succeeding. So the U.S. Open is coming up. Really excited about that. I almost said kicking off. Football's kicking off on Thursday as well, but teeing off at Winged Foot on Thursday morning. And we will have a live guest on Friday morning to kind of go over that first round and what the USGA has done with the U.S. Open. But As we take our break, straight ahead, we'll look at Browns and Bengals, both of them coming into Thursday Night Football at 0-1. We'll do it in the realm or the lens of QB news with both Baker and Burrow.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Snap to Dak. Payne, right side of the end zone. Touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Mariota, play fake. Looking. Floats it downfield. Touchdown! Tight!
Fires for the end zone. Touchdown! And with a terrific job to feed that ball through heavy traffic.
Breeze from the shotgun. Has time. Guns it down the middle. And he's going to score!
Goss stands in. He whips it to the two. Touchdown!
There's a wobbly pass down the middle. It's a backpedaling. Falling down chest high. Heavily covered. Touchdown catch.
Oh, baby, what a throw by Stafford.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Joe Burrow's got one game under his belt in his NFL career. Baker Mayfield has a couple of years and one game, and it's been a rocky road for Baker. Certainly with Joe Burrow, you could expect that there would be some difficult times and challenging times because the Bengals are not very good. Well, the Battle of Ohio is what kicks off week number two in the NFL, and it happens on Thursday evening. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Joe Burrow is already earning rave reviews for his debut, even though the Bengals lost on a, well, they had a chance to tie and send it into overtime against the Chargers, but missed a field goal. Joe had the 23-yard quarterback draw for a touchdown for his very first NFL score, and you all picked that as the touchdown of the week. Well, Baker Mayfield was definitely watching, and of course, Zach Taylor and the Bengals know all about what Baker brings to the table.
Real smooth, kind of, you know, looks like a field general back there. And, you know, obviously, I think unbelievably talented guy, but I think his teammates love him and they really fight for him. That's what you can tell on TV.
He's got great twitch. He can get the ball out. You know, he's an accurate player. He's tough. Seems like the guys like playing with him. You know, he elevates their level of play. I don't know him personally. I haven't really been around him, but certainly when you're the number one pick in the draft, there's some special qualities about you.
It's kind of funny to hear first Baker Mayfield talk about Joe Burrow and how his guys play for him, and they clearly appreciate him and his leadership. And then to hear Zach Taylor say the same thing about Baker Mayfield and how he brings out the best in his guys. Okay. Maybe all of them except for Odell Beckham Jr. Or maybe that's just a separate situation and it was never meant to be a relationship in the first place. It's like putting a square peg in a round hole, maybe. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Baker complimentary of Joe, and then Zach Taylor complimentary of Baker. Of course, they're all familiar with one another. This is a storied history with the Browns and the Bengals, and it goes back decades. And, of course, Joe Burrow grew up in Ohio, so he knows a little bit about the past.
I didn't excessively watch the NFL when I was growing up, but I do know the history behind it and how Mr. Brown's father started the Browns and then started the Bengals as well. So I know the history behind it. Excited to play in the game. Excited from the first one.
We're talking about Paul Brown and Jim Brown. And then Boomer Esiason, of course, who some former NFL MVP with the Bengals, Bernie Kosar, the Icky Shuffle. How about the Dog Pound? You can't know about the Browns without knowing about the Dog Pound. You got a pair of Heisman Trophy winners who will be on each sideline. And both of these teams really would like to get a win. What did I tell you earlier? This is about the Texans. But teams that start out 0-2 in an NFL season only make the playoffs 11 to 12% of the time. It kind of fluctuates, but it's only been a handful of teams that have ever done it. And generally, you do get one every couple years, if not every year, where a team that starts out in the hole will rally to make the playoffs, but it's far more difficult. So this is kind of fun. The Battle of Ohio is a significant date, the 100th anniversary of the league's start in Canton. Now, it wasn't a game, but an organizational meeting. Even back in 1920, they loved their meetings. And so they kicked off with this organizational meeting on September 17th, 1920, the league got its start in Canton, Ohio, 100 years ago Thursday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'm looking forward to seeing those two on the field, not at the same time, but of course in the same game, and figuring out which team can correct its mistakes on a short week. And that's always an issue when you play Sunday and then you have to turn around and play on a Thursday. It's a learning process, of course, right? What can you control? What do you let go? When do you throw away the ball? When do you try to get that extra yard? I mean, so much of what rookie quarterbacks have adjusted to is the speed of the game, but also the decision-making on the fly. And Burrow's got a lot of experience, and he played at a high level in college, but it's just not the same as the NFL. All
right. Well, I mean, the thing about the NFL is there's two or three plays that dictate the outcome of the game. All the games are so close. So if I make two extra plays on Sunday, we win. So I'm just focused on being ready for when those opportunities present themselves and being ready to hit those shots and make those decisions.
We got to quickly turn our attention to Cleveland because they're a good football team. You know, and I know they had a tough week one, the way that the game fell, but they're a good football team. They're well coached, and we got to work it out for us.
I like how Joe Burrow says, and I'm sure it wasn't intentional, like not a veiled shot at the Browns, how all the games are close in the NFL, except for the Ravens beating the Browns by 32 in the season opener. I just think they're punking us. I think we're going to see them. They're going to see them set us up, and they're going to be different. I got to believe that. The Browns had three turnovers and a pair of missed kicks against the Ravens, and it all snowballed. And so it just became ugly. Lamar Jackson, he was fantastic. In fact, he was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week for his performance. 20 of 25, 275 yards, three touchdowns, a near-perfect passer rating. That's what the Browns allowed against the reigning MVP. As for Joe Burrow, his first draw, as I mentioned, went for 23 yards and a score. He had about 200 yards, an interception, and three sacks. And the game was a little more of a struggle back and forth between the Bengals and the Chargers, although it definitely was close and went down to the wire. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. That's week two kicking off at 8:20 Cleveland time. So 8:20 Eastern time on Thursday evening, 5:20 Pacific. And there will be roughly 6,000 fans at, don't tell me, First Energy Stadium. Is it First Energy Stadium in Cleveland? I am so bad at I can almost not remember athletes' names. Half the time I get them mixed up. In fact, I'm pretty sure I called Justin Fields Josh Fields earlier in the show. You know me in names. But when it comes to stadiums, I'm a lost cause because I cannot keep up. All right, turning our attention to what's been the big controversy following week number one. Bruce Arians calling out his quarterback. Now, here's my thought on Bruce Arians speaking publicly about Tom Brady and the Bucs offense. Brady is a grown man. I'm pretty sure he can handle it. We do not need to defend Tom Brady's honor. He's been in the league 20 years. I highly doubt that his feelings were hurt by what Bruce Arians said about how he was surprised at the way the offense operated, that that's not what it looked like in practice, and that they were prepared for everything they saw from the Saints. But of course, Bruce Arians was called on the carpet, and he was responding on Wednesday.
Tom and I are fine, so I don't really care what other people think.
Good.
So it's just what he and I think, and you know, we left the stadium fine. We showed up today fine, so there ain't nothing to talk about.
I love that he laughs about it. One of the reasons that players tell me they love Bruce Arians is because he is honest. He is authentic. He does not pull punches. You always know where you stand with Coach Arians. He treats everyone like a man, which means he's not worried about hurting your feelings. He doesn't sugarcoat. He just tells it like it is. That's the kind of boss I would like. Now, do you need a tougher skin? Sure, but we need toughness in the NFL anyway. You're not going to survive in a sport that's so competitive if you aren't tough and you can't take a little criticism. Did Tom take criticism from Bill Belichick? Yes. Was it almost always behind closed doors? Absolutely. Bruce Arians is a different guy, but I'm glad to hear him say that he and Tom are fine. I wasn't really worried. One game at a time, baby. They're 0-1, but you would expect they're going to get better.
I was amused when they handed us the Lombardi Trophy in July. It's part of the business. You know, you go with it, and it's one week at a time, one day at a time. And we win a few games in a row, everybody be back on the bandwagon happy. So it's just part of the game.
I missed the news where they handed out the Lombardi Trophy in July. Oh, funny. But I'm telling you, 0-2, though, it's not a hole you want to be in, especially when you're talking about a division that shapes up to be as difficult as what the Bucks and Saints and Falcons and potentially even the Panthers will make the NFC South. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. A little bit of QB news. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on your car, motorcycle, and RV policies, and that's on top of what Geico can already save you? What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. A little bit of controversy coming out of Chicago as well, because there was a report that Allen Robinson, Bears wide receiver, wanted a trade out of Chicago, and that it was really over market value and not believing he was getting paid what he was worth, and that Chicago is not treating him with the respect that he deserves when it comes to finances. So he and Matt Nagy had a conversation to clear the air, apparently, and Allen Robinson came back with a positive report.
Me and Coach Nagy have a great relationship. You know, as everybody knows, you know, he was a big reason, you know, as far as me coming to Chicago. You know, just my belief and, you know, his spirit and, you know, just how he brings it each and every day, you know. So we had a very good and spirited conversation. You know, Coach Nagy's my guy. You know, I've enjoyed playing for him, you know, and he's been nothing but a great coach.
So both Robinson and Brandon Parker, who's his agent, have indicated they've not asked for a trade and that he's happy where he is.
My heart and spirit, you know, has never wavered, you know, as far as the city of Chicago and playing for the organization. Like I said before, obviously you dive into the business of the game, you know, and there's different variables that go down to that, you know, but again, how I feel about my teammates, how I feel about this team, how I feel about this city and everything like that, you know, again, has never wavered. You know, again, like I said before, when you're in this business and when you're in a situation like this, things come up.
So according to Robinson, he expects to be a Chicago Bear for the rest of the season. I say if you want a new contract, you want to be paid like the elite receivers in football, when you go out and you prove to the Bears that they cannot play better football without you. But again, both his agent and Robinson are denying a report that they requested a trade, though his agent did acknowledge that Robinson is not super happy with his contract situation. I mean, come on, that could be a report every single day about every single player. There are very few that are so thrilled with our contract situation. Don't we always want to be paid more? I do, boss.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.